One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson. Welcome. You made it to Friday. This is your host, Zach Yenser, of the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice. As every day, Monday through Friday, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting our city to that best possible future. And I don't say this every show, but I say it when it is relevant. I really think that Tucson is at a tipping point moment. I think the decisions we make in the next 5 or 10 years are going to really create what the next 50 look like. I think this moment is that important. And so today I am excited and I'm thankful to many people for helping to put together a 10 West Impact Festival kickoff show. Today is day one of the 10 West Impact Festival, going from October 11th through the 20th this year in downtown Tucson, helping the curious and the impassioned solve the great economic, social, cultural, and environmental challenges of our communities. If you've heard, and we're different, 10 West is different, but if you've heard of the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, it started in a quirky town. The music scene got it kicked off. It's grown over the last two, I think almost three decades, maybe even four by now. And it's one of the most internationally renowned events for creatives and artists and entrepreneurs. It has put Austin on the map. And not that we're trying to be Austin, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying 10 West has the same DNA, the same potential. They expect to bring 15,000 people from across the country and across the region into Tucson to spend that 11th through the 20th talking about people and ideas shaping Tucson and shaping our world. And in studio with us today, we have Jen Nichols, the assistant librarian and director of Catalyst Studios, representing the Women's Hackathon on October 18th. Now we have Ben Rehnquist. He's a PhD, an assistant professor of animal comparative biomedical sciences at the U of A. He'll be competing in idea funding on Thursday during 10 West. And Daryl Mallett, the producer at Caribou Moving Pictures and chair of the Arizona Film Expo, all in studio to give us a sneak peek, a snapshot of this 10 West Impact Festival. How are you all today? Thanks so much for your time as we get kicked off here in Tucson.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Yes,
thank you.
Perfect. And for any of you listening who want to jump in, 790-2040 is our live line for you to join the conversation. On Fridays, it's our Why I Love Where I Live live line. We thank our Why I Love Where I Live friends for their special sponsorship of our live line on Fridays and Tuesdays for you to call in and have a conversation with us. Let's get going with our conversations here. We wanted to snapshot each of these innovations and startups and research here in studio with us. Let's go in order of when you'll be showing up at the 10 West Impact Festival. I have Daryl straight across from me, Daryl Mallett, the producer at Caribou Moving Pictures. The inaugural Arizona Film Expo is happening this 10 West Impact Festival week. It's a statewide film industry business event. Tell us a little bit more about that, Daryl.
So basically the genesis for this came together when several filmmakers approached 10 West and said, this is a fantastic festival. We don't see anything dealing with film. Can we come and participate? And so they very graciously agreed to have us there. And so this is an idea where we didn't want to do it as a film festival, since the Film Fest Tucson is already going on this weekend.
Correct.
Here in Tucson, and we have enough film festivals in our state already. We wanted to create a business platform, kind of like the American film market for Arizona. And so that's the idea here, is that we're trying to gather all of the stakeholders, not just actors and filmmakers and crew, but economic development and convention and visitors bureaus, town managers, mayors, tourist attractions, airlines, hotels, associated industries to come together and talk about how do we bring film business back to Arizona.
So that was the question that was on the tip of my tongue, Daryl, because Tucson, it's kind of weird because Tucson used to be a huge film and movie capital.
Indeed.
But it's hard for me to say, you're the expert though, it's hard for me to say that we don't have film stuff going on here. We have a lot of independent, kind of indie some very creative, kind of gritty, independent film going on here. But a lot of our big film business has gone to New Mexico, to the coasts. What do you think it takes for film, big film, to come back to Tucson? What do we need to make happen?
So to address your first part of what you said, there is a lot of film production happening in Arizona. Film Tucson, here it's the city office here, Phoenix Film Office. They've been around for 30 years. They're continuing to do these things where they're bringing in commercials and music videos and travel shows. Travel shows seem to be very popular here. You know, Diners, Drives, and Dives.
Yeah.
Those kind of shows. So there's a ton of work that's being done by Shelley Hall here and Phil Bradstock in Phoenix. And the independent film scene, of course, is very good. The big companies that do film production, they were here for 50 years. We were Hollywood's backlot. They came here for almost 50 years to do westerns, mostly Old Tucson Studios, White Stallion Ranch. When other states started offering tax incentives, Hollywood got distracted by that, the shiny new thing, and they drifted off to other states. Now that Georgia's struggling with what's going on in their industry there, this is the time for us to bring it back. We're still only 8 hours away from Hollywood. We're still 360 days a year of shooting. Unless you need rain, we're the place to go. And so that's what happened, is that they all went away. And so what we're trying to do is rebuild the infrastructure here and try to remind Hollywood, hey, we're still here. We're right next door. It's cheaper to work here. It's cheaper to live here. And we'll give you your, you know, more bang for your buck.
Daryl Mallett is the chair of the Arizona Film Expo, an inaugural event here in Tucson as a part of the 10 West Festival. You spoke about how Tucson doesn't necessarily need a new film festival, but needs something that's focused more on the maybe business side, the entrepreneurial side of it. As we close out this segment, we'll probably end up circling back to the expo before we're done with this. What is the business side of the community need, and what does it need from Tucson to thrive?
So this is a statewide business event where we're trying to break down silos. A lot of people have this idea that it's Phoenix versus Tucson, that it's Arizona versus Hollywood and New Mexico. We're all part of the same industry, and we all need to work together and talk to each other. And so what we need here is for people to get to know each other, to find out what the flora and the fauna is, if you will, of our industry here. What's left after tax incentives in other states have decimated our workforce here? So that's the first part, is networking, getting to know each other, who's doing what. You know, if you need a camera person, this guy's the guy. If you need a makeup artist, this person's the right person. So find out from that. Also, we need to rebuild the infrastructure at the city level. We need other cities to have film offices, maybe not a dedicated film office, but somebody who knows what they're doing, who's AFCI certified film commissioner, and rebuild the state infrastructure. A lot of what we've been doing is creating lower level tax incentives, if you will. And not all of them are tax incentives, right? But we have companies that are willing to give discounts up front to film industry for the Real Savings Program that Matthew Earl Jones is putting together at the state level. We also have cities that have waived permitting. ADOT and Parks and Rec have waived costs for permitting. So we're trying to create these little incentives before we are able to have the big incentives. It's kind of like happy hour. The big incentives are happy hour, but if we don't have a restaurant to sure. hold happy hour in, we're not going to be able to do it.
Daryl Mallett, if there's a film professional listening and they go, I didn't hear about this, but it's on Tuesday, October 15th. Do I still have time to get involved? What's the best way for them to answer that question?
Absolutely. There's tickets available at 10west.com. There's a full lineup on arizonafilmexpo.com. You can buy your tickets anytime during the 10-day festival. That ticket will get you into all 10 days of the festival, which is exciting because I'm going to go visit my two counterparts here, see what they're doing later in the week. So 10west.com is where you go.
10west.com kicks off today, October 11th through the 20th. The Arizona Film Expo, I think it's a very important initiative, the inaugural one here with the 10 West, as a part of the 10 West Impact Festival, is on Tuesday, October 15th. When we come back from our first break, we're going to talk idea funding. Idea funding is on Thursday of next week. And here to tell us all about it is Ben Rehnquist with an innovative company of his own that will be pitching at Idea Funding. Much more to come as we talk about the people and ideas bubbling up in Tucson through the 10 West Impact Festival, October 11th through 20th. We'll be right back again our Why I Love Where I Live live line. It's 790-2040. Give us a call. Join the conversation. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back on in. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. You're listening to the Creative City Show as we are spending our Friday doing a 10 West Impact Festival kickoff show, a sneak peek and a snapshot into an amazing festival here in Tucson that goes from October 11th, that's today, through October 20th, bringing creatives, entrepreneurs, artisans, researchers, innovators, people that are creating Tucson's future, and bringing them from all over the country and the region here to Tucson. We're talking with three of the events and organizers and entrepreneurs who are a part of this event, just to give a little bit of an overview of what you can expect when you're a part of this event. We kicked off last segment with Daryl Mallett. He's the chair of the Arizona Film Expo that is working on nothing less than reviving the big movie industry here in Tucson. Tucson used to be Hollywood's back lot. I forget the exact term you used, Daryl, but kind of the backdoor back lot of Hollywood. How do we get there again? Daryl Mallett is focusing on answering that question. And that's Tuesday, October the 15th. Thursday, which would be October the 17th, is Idea Funding, one of the hallmark events, I would say, of 10 West. It's been around for 20 to 25 years, I think, in Tucson, something like that. It has a long history and is a huge part of 10 West. Up-and-coming Arizona startups will battle it out for the grand prize of $25,000 presented by UA Venture Capital on the main stage pitch competition. And making it there is Ben Rehnquist. He's a PhD assistant professor of animal comparative biomedical sciences at the U of A with a really incredible startup innovation. Ben will do it way more justice than I will. So Ben Rehnquist, what is your startup and why did you make it to the main stage? Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Our startup is actually focused on taking a technology that was developed in my lab at the University of Arizona and applying it to the real world to actually make a change. And that's, you know, what University of Arizona aims to do. There were actually three or four different companies that came out of the university that applied to be part of Idea Funding. And a number of them made it on to the top 20, and 20 teams will be presenting. So, you'll have an opportunity to see what the university is doing and how it's also impacting the state of Arizona and the Tucson economy. My technology is really focused on agriculture. I'm in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. And what we're trying to do is improve the efficiency of food production and improve sustainability. And we're doing that by identifying animals that can convert feed into animal protein more effectively.
Entrepreneurship in agriculture is kind of the ninja in Tucson. I've heard a lot of innovation happening in that space. I don't think a lot of people know about, but you're a reflection of that. I just heard this 2 weeks ago. Zach, don't sleep on agriculture. Tucson is kind of this sleeper town of amazing agricultural entrepreneurship. So I think it's cool that you get to present that, whether you win or not, and I certainly hope that you do. I think that it's good for Tucson to see what's happening right here in our backyard.
Well, Tucson's always had to be innovative as far as agriculture goes. We don't have a lot of water. We need to be careful with that. We have a great place to grow crops because we've got tons of sun. We've got a great place to grow cattle because we don't have cold weather impacting them. We don't have other conditions impacting them, but we do have challenges and we've had to face those. And they're challenges that now face the world, like extreme temperatures, lack of water, salty soils. So these are things that we've had to experience and we've been going through for 50 years. And now the rest of the world is experiencing them. So we're in a good position to lead, as far as that goes.
One thing that you also mentioned that's really important is the ability of our University of Arizona research, that technology to be transferred, right? That's a big word, tech transfer, commercialization, really the ability to get great ideas out of the classroom, out of the research lab, into the market is a real piece of Tucson's success. if we're going to be successful, we have to get that piece right. You mentioned that a lot of the idea funding pitches, the startups that will be pitching on the idea funding stage, have come from the University of Arizona. What kind of support did you receive, or what do you think that your position in the university allowed you to do that was maybe specifically helpful for your startup?
Yeah, since I started at the university 8 years ago, TechLaunch has taken off, and it's the innovation and entrepreneurial wing of the University of Arizona. What they're trying to do is, we've all heard of MIT and Harvard and how they've actually taken their technology and what they develop and move it out into the real world. Well, Arizona saw that leadership that they took, and they've actually decided to do that themselves. And so we've got a really strong TechLaunch program with great mentors who help you throughout the process. In fact, I started the company June 2018, Generate, but before that, I'd spent 2 years working with TechLaunch, learning how to take my technology and apply it to improve production. So the university has been very supportive in that way, in addition to the fact that not only do they suggest that you implement your research and apply it to the real world, but they reward you for doing that.
We're talking with Ben Rehnquist. He's a PhD and assistant professor of animal comparative biomedical sciences. Ooh, I have to practice that a little bit more. At the U of A, he is his company is Generate, whose technology identifies the fastest growing fish or other aquatic food, part of some of the innovation happening in agriculture in Tucson. Ben, suffice to say, the idea funding process is grueling. It's a massive process to go through a lot of different hoops and to move beyond even others, different startups. I mean, it's not easy to get to be in that number on stage. Can you tell us a little bit about what it took to get on the idea funding stage?
Yeah, so they started with 60 teams, and everybody went in and you applied to get to that 60-team level. And then they had a competition amongst those 60 teams, and they took the top 20 forward. And they gave you some mentoring at that 20-team stage to help you learn how to present your company the best and the most clearly. After that, they cut it down to a 5-team group that will compete for the $25,000 prize. But there's also other rooms that will be competing for $5,000 prizes. And they might be there's another team that's U of A led, or not U of A led, a U of A professor is leading it. And he's working on using mesquite flour and creating a company that produces prepackaged ingredient mixes that include mesquite powder. And so you can see that maybe that wasn't a U of A technology, but it's a person attached to the university who's also trying to make a difference in Tucson and apply a product that is very Arizona-based.
Thank you, Ben, for bringing that up, because I didn't want it to seem that this was only for U of A ideas. In fact, U of A ideas may still be the minority compared to the other startups that are pitching from around the community. But it is so important that our university is pumping out the people and ideas. That engine has to be working. So I wanted to land there. But so many incredible ideas in our community that have been on that stage this year and years before.
Sure.
So yes. Wonderful. And Siri thought, I'm sorry, Siri. Siri thought that I was talking to her, but I'm in fact talking to Ben Rehnquist. He is the his company is Generate, whose technology identifies the fastest growing fish or other aquatic food. Ben, are you in that top five, or are you, what level are you competing in?
Yeah, I'm in the top five. I'm competing with another company, PageADay Math, that is focused on helping young people learn math. Another lady who has developed a clothing company called Bralessly, which my wife is a big fan of. These are clothes that you can wear that don't require you to wear a bra. And there's a company out of Arizona State University that we should mention who has developed
a technology. So generous of you, thank you. Ben was struggling. He's like, can I get around saying that? I can't get around saying it.
Go Bruins.
Yeah, that has developed a way to create a plaster that makes homes more energy efficient. So I think there's some great companies, some great technologies, some great ideas, and some great entrepreneurs that'll be presenting, and it should be fun to watch. Anybody who's a fan of Shark Tank will really love idea funding and the presentations that will occur on Thursday.
For sure. There's a panel of judges. They have a rating ranking system. They factor in a lot of different elements.
Yeah, they're bringing in venture capitalists, just like you see in the Shark Tank, who will be deciding which company should receive the prize, but also giving feedback on what we can do in the future to improve our pitch, to get investors, so that our company can go forward with adequate funding.
Super. Well, Ben Rehnquist, thank you for your work. Thank you for your research. The mayor today, or throughout the week, will be talking about how important it is for our startup and innovation ecosystem to be effective, that our community's success really depends on our innovation sector, our innovation economy, and our entrepreneurs. So Tucson's success really does depend in no small way on people like Ben and Daryl and Jen, who we will hear from in the next segment, what they're up to in Tucson. Cities thrive when people and ideas are colliding and making things happen. So best of luck to you. Good luck on stage. And that is on Thursday, October the 17th.
Great. Thank you, Zach.
Yes. And if, real quick, if anybody wants to come and watch you or others, the pressure's on, can they still jump in? Where do they go?
Yeah, if they go to 10west.com, they can get tickets. They can purchase tickets either for the luncheon, which is where the main competition will occur, or in the afternoon there are smaller rooms where the smaller competition will occur, and they can get tickets for that as well.
Ben Rehnquist, thank you so much. We're going to head to Jen Nichols, the Women's Hackathon on October 18th at the Mercado San Agustin Annex when we come back from our bottom of the hour news break. So much more to go. Our 10 West Impact Festival sneak peek kicks off today. Don't go away, Tucson. See you in a minute. Tucson, welcome back. We are just a little over halfway through our final hour of the week. The Creative City Show airs Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 here on 1030 The Voice. And we are talking with some of the organizers, creatives, entrepreneurs, innovators of the 10 West Impact Festival, a festival that is happening in Tucson beginning today, Friday, October the 11th, and going through October 20th, bringing some of the best of the best from our region and the country here to Tucson. And it's just an exciting moment. And I'm thankful to have the opportunity to do a sneak peek, kind of snapshot hour here to close our week on the program. 790-2040 is your Why I Love Where I Live live line opportunity to join the conversation, ask a question, and I hope that you do, because live local radio is all about community. Jen Nichols, you are heading up the Women's Hackathon at the Annex at the kind of nearish end of the event. It's on Friday the 18th on the west side of the I-10 at the Mercado San Agustin Annex. Tell us about the Women's Hackathon, how it started, what it aims to do, and what your goal is with it.
Sure. We're actually kicking off on Friday night at the Mercado, but we'll be all day Saturday and Sunday at the University of Arizona. We do a kickoff community event to kind of anchor ourselves at the end of 10 West and invite the community to be a part of it, even if they don't want to commit to the long weekend of learning and hacking new ideas and presenting them. So we invite everyone to come down on Friday to be a part of the keynote address and kickoff celebration. But the Women's Hackathon started, this is the fifth year, and it started as a student-led initiative in response to the idea of a hackathon, which it can be really intimidating to a lot of folks.
What's a hackathon for those who don't know?
So a hackathon is when folks come together to try to solve a problem, and they've traditionally been technology-related problems. How do we hack a system to address a need that we have? How do we fix something? In the news recently, you heard about a hackathon trying to break voting machines, for example, to see how could we make them more secure. So hackathons have happened in the tech industry for a long time, and they've often felt very intimidating and exclusive. We have a hackathon at the University of Arizona that's one of the bigger student-led hackathons called HackAZ. And 5 years ago, a PhD student went and found that similar feeling of intimidation. Although it's supposed to be really welcoming and exciting for students, and it is, she thought, how can I hack the hackathon? How can I make it a little bit more inclusive and inviting and open this opportunity, which is so fun and creative and exciting, to different people who wouldn't otherwise find themselves there? So she was the lead for Women Tech Makers, which is a Google Developers Group subset, and got some money from GDG Tucson to do a Dev Fest, which is a thing that Google developer groups around the country do. And she came to us at the library at the University of Arizona and said, could I host this? So we did the first one. We had 50 women come for a weekend. And some of the breakdown to make it more accessible is, one, it's free. Two, you need no technology experience whatsoever. And so with that, we provided workshops for people to learn basic coding, robotics, how to play with a drone, how to do e-textiles, things like that. And then you had the option to join a group and try to solve a problem and make a pitch, think about ideas that you wanted to put forward. So people built apps, they redesigned things and printed them on the 3D printer. We've had all sorts of interesting ideas come through over the years. So it just keeps growing and growing to the point where we last year had upwards of 300 folks participate.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Jen Nichols is the assistant librarian and director of Catalyst Studios 362 days out of the year, right?
Yes.
But for two or three days, you are, and you're here today representing the Women's Hackathon on October 18th at the Annex. Why the Annex? I'm curious. I'm trying to envision in my head. I live just up the street from there. I'm there a lot. I'm trying to envision where this is happening, what that's going to look like. It's a really cool space. Why the Annex?
Well, because we are affiliated with 10 West, we really wanted to be both at the university and part of the community. So we are exploring different locations. And on Friday and Saturday evening, Flam Chen is going to be doing a 10 West performance that's free and open to the public called Tres Dos Unos. And so they offered us the stage to do our keynote address, which we think has broad appeal. You don't have to participate in the weekend-long event. You can come and be inspired. Our keynote speaker is a woman named Darcy Van Patten. She's the executive director and digital transformation and student and academic technologies at the University of Arizona. She's a really inspiring speaker. We think a lot of people would benefit from that. Think of it like when you run a race. You have a race day packet pickup. So come on down, get your t-shirt, get excited, meet folks that are going to be at the hackathon all weekend with you, listen to the keynote, go get a drink and something to eat, and come back for the Flam Chen show. And so you're feeling like you're a part of 10 West. It's a part of a community event. And then you'll spend the rest of the weekend at the hackathon.
I think that's really innovative. I was, if I remember correctly, at last year's hackathon kickoff, and it was at the U of A. It was on the mall.
Yeah.
It was on the mall. And I think it's great that it's a little bit outside of just the U of A area. It's in the downtown community area. I think that's a good innovation, I think, on the concept. How many people do you expect will participate in the hackathon?
We're aiming for about 200 to 250. Last year, we had, with that Friday night event, we brought in probably an extra 100, 150 people to campus for the kickoff. So we had 325 total participate. So we're hoping that it'll be similar numbers this year.
That's incredible. And do I also see, I just want to make sure and clarify, in 2017, did you expanded to invite attendees across a lot of different identities and expressions, and is it still mostly women, or what's the makeup of the hackathon? It started in 2015, as you mentioned,
right,
as a women's hackathon. Has it expanded beyond that? Or
yeah, in 2017, we realized, you know, if we wanted to bring more women into STEM and technologies, that was everybody's problem, really. And we wanted to invite women and allies to participate. And so that's been really successful. We have primarily women participants. It is women-led and women-organized, but everyone is welcome to join us.
So just to circle back on something you mentioned, when I think of a hackathon, I think Facebook made them really popular for a while, where they would have these famous, you know, 10-hour jam sessions where they would go from, you know, 9 p.m. to you know, to 7 a.m. the next morning, and they drink a lot of Red Bull, and they would just code like crazy and solve a problem. And so, you know, Mark Zuckerberg would walk in his black t-shirt, you know, and go, solve this problem.
Right, right.
And 10 hours later, a bunch of designers and engineers would solve it. The hackathon certainly has some of that involved, but workshops have become the main focal point. I wanted to zoom in on that a little bit. There are workshops that have, at least in the past, revolved around coding, 3D modeling, drones, virtual reality, bot building, group hack time, mentoring. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So more than just 200 people getting in a room and not saying anything to each other for 10 hours and coming away with one single result. It's a little bit more of a workshop, mentoring, community type of format. And we've got about 3 minutes left, and I thought maybe we'd land there and tell us why that format, sure. What workshops are a part of this year, and why that makes the hackathon unique.
Yeah, again, it was really about inclusivity and helping people feel welcome there and that they could participate in the hackathon. So one of the other outcomes we hope is that someone then might, from here, go and participate in another one and have the sense of confidence that they have something to offer. Because research tells us that it's not just the technologists that you need in a group to come up with an innovation. You need all sorts of different thinkers,
yep.
idea people, yep. philosophers, designers, yep. you know, you've got it all.
Very cool.
So we have created those workshops to build skills, of course, but then also help people to meet one another, to form teams, and feel like they might have a good idea and get the reinforcement. So we added a design thinking session where we're giving folks new skills around that, but also they can identify opportunities and come up with, if you're familiar with design thinking, the MVP, mm-hmm. you know, is what is something we can actually accomplish?
The minimum viable product.
The minimum viable product. What can we accomplish in 12 hours of hacking so that we can pitch something that is understandable instead of we have this huge idea and then we stand up and we're like, well, we were able to write 5 lines of code and it will be really great one day. And then we're going to leave this hackathon and never work on it again, you know? So we wanted to help people get to a place and then feed them into this ecosystem that we're creating in 10 West so that now everyone who pitches will be invited to the U of A startup weekend that we have to be coached through our pitching process and competitions and introduce them into the ecosystem that we're creating both in on campus and in Tucson that 10 West is really spun up to support. So we're really thinking of it as, and I like to talk about it, we're situated in the library because, first of all, we're open to everyone. But second of all, it's kind of the beginning, you know, the beginning of you have ideas, you belong in this community, and look at all of the opportunities we can connect you to.
Jen Nichols, we didn't plan this, but I love that you pivoted to ecosystem, that idea of an ecosystem. Jen Nichols and I have spent the last few minutes talking about the Women's Hackathon. She's the assistant librarian and director of Catalyst Studios. Before that, we talked with Ben Rehnquist, assistant professor of animal comparative biomedical sciences at the U of A. His startup, Geneterate, will be pitching on the Idea Funding Main Stage Pitch Competition. And to get us going, we'll hear from him a little bit more in the next segment. Daryl Mallett, he's the producer at Caribou Moving Pictures and the chair of the Arizona Film Expo. I asked if Daryl and Ben and Jen could stay over one more segment to talk about the broader ecosystem of the 10 West Impact Festival. We zoned into their specific piece of it. I want to zoom back out to 30,000 feet and from a community perspective, talk about why the 10 West Impact Festival is so important to our community. And also, what are some of the pieces of the festival that they aren't directly involved with that they're most looking forward to hanging out at? And so we're going to have that fun conversation, 30,000 foot view, when we come back for our final segment of the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice. This is the 10 West Impact Festival sneak peek and kickoff show here on this Friday, October 11th, a stretch of events bringing together the artists, entrepreneurs, creatives, and innovators into Tucson through October 20th. So much more to come. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back to the show. Our last few minutes of the week here. Thanks for listening and engaging. And being with us here on the program. Just a quick pitch. We had yesterday in studio for the whole hour Arizona Daily Star opinion editor Sarah Garrett Gasson in to talk about their endorsements and recommendations for the four mayor and council seats that are being run for, campaigned for, that will be voted on in November, and Proposition 205. There were a lot of questions that I was hearing, a lot of community feedback I was seeing that had some questions about why those recommendations and endorsements ended up the way that they did. And so I had her for a whole hour to talk about that and get some insider information on the interviews with the candidates and with the organizers of Proposition 205 that led the endorsements to be what they were. I was really happy when I walked out of the studio with that interview. I thought that journalist to journalist, if you will, we asked hard questions. We dug into the details. I pushed back on logic when I thought that I needed to. It was just a really good interview, and I'd love for you to take a listen. You can go to our podcasts at kvoi.com/podcasts or iTunes or Google Play Music. So whichever of those three you use the most or you prefer to use, the podcast is now up, and I'd love for you to take a listen. As we wrap up our 10 West Impact Festival kind of kickoff show, our sneak peek, we've spent it with Jen Nichols. She's organizing the Women's Hackathon on October the 18th. We've spent it with Ben Rehnquist, his company Generate, technology identifying the fastest growing fish or other aquatic food, part of the agricultural innovation happening in Tucson. We've spent it with Daryl Mallett, the chair of the Arizona Film Expo, talking about the innovators, creatives, artisans, entrepreneurs, and change agents that are descending on Tucson between October the 11th and October 20th. So that starts today, which is why we're doing the show. And I wanted to keep these guys around for another segment because I wanted to get a 30,000-foot look at what they see is the value of the Impact Festival. And in a fun way, what other event are they wanting to hang out at? But I don't want to miss and get to the end and go, oh, we ran out of time. Daryl Mallett, you forgot to mention something really cool about the Arizona Film Expo, and we know where you're going to be on Tuesday the 15th.
Yeah, Tuesday the 15th is exciting because it's not just the Arizona Film Expo that's happening. It's called it's Accelerating Creation 2.0. So it's all creatives. It's not just film and television. We're going to have guests like John Overall and Dan Maurice from KVOA and KOLD there speaking on panels. And then the super exciting thing for those of us that are involved in this is that there's a whole track of sculptors, painters, artists, photographers, graphic designers that, you know, may blend over into your event as well, Jen, and to you, Ben. And then in the evening, we're giving the first ever Arizona Film and Media Hall of Fame Awards at Hotel Congress. Barbara Eden, who was born here for My Dream of Jeannie, will be our special guest, along with Gary Clark, who spent 30 years shooting at Old Tucson Studios.
How old is he now?
Gary's 86 and Barbara's 88. So it's nice to bring them home here. And Mayor Rothschild will be there on Tuesday morning to declare Barbara Eden Appreciation Day.
There we go.
So it's 9 o'clock.
Very cool.
Thanks for letting us say that.
You mentioned that during a break. We got to know about this.
Right.
That's incredible. So,
and the one I'm excited about going to, now that I've talked to Ben and Jen, this is what happens when you bring creatives together of all types. And most scientists don't think of themselves as creatives, but you are, because you're creating something that those of us that work with words and pictures could never do. And, you know, we're doing stuff with words and pictures that you don't do with your science. So this is really kind of exciting to meet everybody, and just the ideas and it's the synergy that's generated by bringing all these different kinds of elements together for the 10 West Festival. I, of course, will be attending the Agave Festival to see what's happening there.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Film Fest Tucson is happening this weekend here in Tucson. And then Old Tucson Studios is giving discount to anybody who has a 10 West ticket next Saturday and Sunday.
Cool. Jen and Ben, that makes it easy. Jen and Ben, do you agree with the value that Daryl Mallett, chair of the Arizona Film Expo, sees out of 10 West? Is getting diverse industries and thought and creatives and entrepreneurs and innovators, is that important to Tucson's growth and success? Do you see it the same way?
Absolutely. I've lived here for more than 20 years, and watching Tucson grow and change has been a really exciting as a community member, but also as a librarian for more than 14 years, you are in, you know, you occupy this public space where you get to watch people come in and ask for what they're looking for, pitch their ideas. I mean, the library is a place where people come to say, I want to create this thing. I need to know how to connect to these people. So 10 West came, like you said, at the beginning, at the perfect time when Tucson is really burgeoning at a tipping point. And so I feel like it is really important for us to see each other in different ways and to kind of lift each other up, because I also am guilty of putting my head down and doing work that I think is important, but I don't always tell everyone about it. So this is a way for us to share with one another and make those connections. And it is a really rich community, and we're so spread out,
yes.
You know, so it's a great opportunity to be together in one spot.
I love that. I think the chance to get your head up and to see what else is going on, and somebody to force you to move into a space where all these other people are, because we are a spread out community. I love that. That's not where my head was going when I was thinking how I'd answer the question. So I really value that perspective. I really mean that. I hadn't thought of it that way before. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I think we've seen the value just here in the studio of bringing people together who have apparently completely divergent ideas and thoughts and aren't necessarily connected immediately. When I heard Jen talking about what she does, I asked her how I might be able to change my classroom and involve, you know, hacking in the classroom and participate there. And Daryl was all over the video end of what she's doing. And so you can see the opportunities that are created just by going out and meeting people and talking to them and hearing their ideas and what they're doing, and then incorporating that into what you do. And, you know, I saw today that there's a whole day on education and STEM education, and that's something I'm really interested in and I'd love to go see. And I think that fits well with what Jen does. And then Daryl mentioned that obviously science and art don't appear to be directly connected, but the best scientists are extremely creative. They look for solutions to problems, and the best artists are extremely creative. So I do think that those two lines of thought actually combine very, very well.
Ben, that's a great answer. That idea of collisionable space. I talk about the D word, density, on this show a lot. And cities thrive when you get enough people and ideas banging into each other on a daily basis. I mean, what our listeners didn't get to see during the break is what you mentioned, Ben. I mean, that conversation we had in 2 minutes might create a whole semester or a whole year of collaboration. And it was just because we were all in studio. Wasn't planned, you know, to come up with that. It just happened because we were here. And 10 West, I think, is a great way to create that density over a 10-day period. So I'm with you on that. Jen, Ben and Daryl mentioned where they're going to go besides the events they're leading. Anything that has stood out to you as a day or an event or a track that would be interesting to attend?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the creative day on Tuesday. I don't remember what exactly.
Accelerating Creativity 2.0.
So,
Accelerating Creativity 2.0.
As part of that Hotel Congress evening celebration, there's something called Sounds of Melanin, and that's 5 Black artists coming together to do a multimedia experience with virtual reality headsets.
Crazy. And
so I run Catalyst Studios in the U of A libraries. That's opening in January, and that features a virtual reality studio, a green screen room, a maker studio, and a data visualization studio. So I'm really excited to see what community members are doing with VR and invite them to come into my space and be creative there and help introduce the university community to that and make that connection. So
that
I'm always looking for new VR and AR innovations.
I hope you send me an invite when that opens.
I will.
I would love to come in and see that.
There's just so many things happening over the next 10 days that we all are bursting with things that we want to go see, and we can't possibly mention all of them. There's a full schedule at 10west.com for all 10 days. Check it out. There's so much to do. One ticket gets you into almost everything for 10 days.
So. Yep. And it's not an exorbitant ticket. I think it's a $50 general pass. There's certain things that you have to add on to that if you choose, but that general passport gets you to just about most everything. It's $50.
And the hackathon is free.
Right? So there's some add-ons that are free, or that you can just be a part of as a community member. The Fourth Industrial Revolution and you day or event is what really caught my eye as well. But I mean, I went to 10west.com just to repeat that one more time, and literally I scrolled and I'm still not at the end of the I've been scrolling as I've been talking, and I'm not still at the end of the lineup for this event. So Tucson, 10west.com, go check it out. There's still time to jump in, get your ticket, and it's broken out there pretty cleanly of what ticket and what add-on, and you'll be in and out in a few minutes, and give yourself some opportunity this week to see what Tucson is up to. Ben, Daryl, Jen, thank you all so much for helping to spotlight our 10 West Impact Festival. Special thanks to Laura Reese with Storyteller PR for setting up this conversation. And Tucson, so much happening this weekend. Don't stay home. Go out and do something. Go have some fun. Tucson has so much to offer. Best of luck to all of you this week, and we'll see you at 10 West Impact Festival.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Zach.
And Tucson, that does it for us. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, here on the Creative City Show. We are seconds away from our weekend kicking off. Stick around for Doug, Jen, and Victoria, and then Bill Buckmaster, one of our local shows at noon. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll see you Monday at 9 next week. Have a great one.